McDavid tried to slip a pass through over to Draisaitl. One-timer scores! And there's Connor McDavid's 100th point! The century mark has been achieved in Game 53!
Tough pass to handle, Hunter's New York. He'll cough it up. The throw out in front. They score! Jeff Carter on the receiving end of another pass from Freddie Gaudreau in Pittsburgh. Breaks the ice.
Jumps in there, and Gudas tackles his man. Stanley Cup playoffs starting a week early tonight in Sunrise.
There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing.
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Hey, everybody. Welcome into another episode of Our Line Starts, fueled by Duncan. I'm with Patrick Sharp and Dominic Moore today. And guys, I am pumped because it's the final week of the regular season. You know what that means. Our schedules are about to go crazy next week, but it's the best time of the year, the NHL playoffs. And I don't know, I'm jacked for it. Are you guys?
Absolutely. Fired up, Sharpie. How about you?
Yep, I'm excited. It's going to be a fun playoffs too, especially how they're laid out with the teams having to come out of their division in the first two rounds and then playing a team that they haven't seen all season long. So lots to be excited about, and can't wait to hear how much you guys are sick of me by the end of this month.
What do you mean by the end? We already are.
But you're so right, though. Like, there's a whole level of intrigue now, right, for the conference finals that we've never had in terms of just like strangers getting together to play. It'll be awesome to see.
Does this time of year bring back memories for you guys? I mean, Sharpie, I'll start with you and the many cups you've won and the long playoff runs you've had, but like, does this time of year, when you know you're winding down the regular, you know you've got a playoff spot secure because the majority of the teams, with the exception of one as we record this podcast, don't know that they're in it, but you know, does it bring back kind of like moments that you were thinking of going into the postseason?
Yeah, I don't know how Dom feels about it, but I kind of react to how the weather is outside, and it was neat driving to the rink in Chicago with summer-like weather in May and June. You knew it was big playoff games. That's something I definitely noticed. This year is a little bit different with the playoffs starting when they are, but it's that time of year where there's light at the end of the tunnel. I think as players, it's such a grind playing through a full regular season. It really is three different seasons. The way I looked at it is training camp and preseason, get through the regular season, and then be ready to go and be at your best for playoffs. So that's how I kind of felt, and it does bring back some memories, KT. I'm excited to start watching these games for real and telling the story of what's happening in the playoffs.
Yeah, Sharpie, I mean, someone asked me today about how do you get through the fatigue, you know, in the playoffs, and my answer was I never really had fatigue in the playoffs. It's those games in the regular season where you've already played a lot of games and you got a lot in front of you that you got to get through that mental fatigue. But the playoffs are the games you've dreamed about playing since you're a kid. You know, the game sevens, you know, these like meaningful games. And so those, you don't have any trouble. There's no fatigue issue there. You got plenty in the tank for those. And so this is the most exciting time of the year. And absolutely going to the rink, morning skate and flip flops. And there's only a few teams, only a few teams left. That's a great feeling, a great time of year.
Yeah. Well, we would be about a month into the playoffs at this point if it was a normal year, but we know it's not. And since it's not a normal year, I guess we could talk about some of the headlines that happened over the weekend. And something that we've noticed to become normal is the play of Connor McDavid. He reaches the 100-point plateau, guys, in just 53 games. Unbelievable. He's not done yet. Just put that in perspective, Sharpie, what those numbers mean and how impressive it truly is for Connor McDavid to reach 100 points.
That's a hard thing for me to do, KT. I can't really put it into perspective. He's clearly the best offensive player in the game, and it's not even close. People around the league were throwing out that number at the start of the season, like, do you think McDavid could get to 100 points? And I thought it was crazy talk, but here we are, and it speaks to how talented he is. And to think he's only 24 years old, Dom, like, what happens when he's in the prime of his career, age 27, 28, 29, and the Oilers have a really deep, solid, good team? All of a sudden we could see some really crazy numbers. The good players surrounding Connor McDavid are only going to help his numbers. The fact that he's pretty much doing it with whatever unit he's on, if Draisaitl's out there with him, the power play, it's pretty much a five-man unit carrying the load there offensively for the Oilers. So I'm beyond impressed. Give him all the awards at this point.
I mean, it's just nuts. Like, if you look at just the last couple weeks alone, when he got into this 100-point zone, okay, 31 points in his last 11 games. Just insane. In his last five games, Sharpie, 16 points. Like, are you kidding me? Over 3 points a game. So, like, talk about the power of motivation and focus. Like, he saw that 100-point goal, and as soon as he got closer to it, he just raised his level. And that just shows you what he can do going forward. And he's gotten better every single year. And the other thing that's telling is just, like, If you take him in comparison to everyone else in the league, and, you know, maybe take out Draisaitl because he's benefiting from playing with him. He's an incredible player in his own right. But let's say you take out Draisaitl. He's got 50% more points than the third place player. These are the best players in the world. So it's just insane what he's accomplished this year.
So he's clearly the favorite, as we know, to win the Hart Trophy, but question. But who's your pick to win, to come in second place? Who's the runner-up?
Nobody. There's nobody who gets second place.
There's fourth, fifth, sixth, right?
I mean, I would say if you had to give a second place, I would probably go with, like, Vasilevsky. You know, nobody talks about goalies, but I think it's not even a conversation for players, you know, especially forwards. There's only one person that's in the conversation. That's Connor McDavid. But if you had to have a number two, I would say you could make an argument for Vasilevsky, who again has been the best goalie in the league, hands down.
Yeah. I think that's the real, Hart Trophy race, is who's going to get second place. There's a couple of players out there with good seasons that mean a lot to their teams. Vasilevsky being one of them for sure. McKinnon's had a great year again. Colorado's in good positioning. You know, you could go up and down all the teams that are in the running. Crosby's had a real good year. I love what Barkov's done in Florida, but what are we talking about here? We're talking about second place. This is McDavid's award. Let's wrap it up and give it to him.
All right. Well, sticking with that North division, since we're talking about it, the Toronto Maple Leafs won their first division title since 2000. This is the team that pretty much has owned that division all throughout the regular season. But how much pressure, Dom, I mean, I know you played in Toronto. How much pressure does this Toronto Maple Leafs team have now going into the playoffs?
The most they've had in a long time, for sure. And having grown up there and knowing the passion of the Leaf Nation and how much people buy into that, there's a lot of pressure. If they don't win in the first round, you know, they're expecting conference finals or better. And they went all in this year. There's expectation externally. There's expectations internally. And guess what, Sharpie? You know how these expectations can play on teams. They can make it real hard to play your best. So this is definitely an interesting thing to watch. You know, they ate up that North Division. A lot of people are critical of that North Division, saying it's not necessarily playoff-style hockey. So I guess we'll soon find out.
Yeah, I wonder how, like, the new COVID protocols affect that pressure. You know, one of the things I remember, KT, about all those playoff series I was in was, like, the flood of media members that come into the room after practice, after pregame skate, every game. There's a huge story about, you know, three or four different things that happen in the game. That'll all still happen from the outside. But, I mean, the players these days seem to be pretty sheltered with the Zoom calls, and they're not really having those face-to-face conversations. But being around the city in Toronto, I would imagine that the city will be going nuts. They'll be rooting for them. They have those expectations. I always feel like it's better to be the underdog. You know, all the playoff series that you watch, even if it's a four-game sweep or it's an overtime in game seven, there always is, like, such a small margin of winning and losing. So sometimes when you have that underdog feel and you just have nothing to lose, you're free and you're loose with the puck, that can be an advantage. But definitely it will be awesome to see this Canadian division, the North division, to see how it plays out, because I know some of those teams are taking heat right now, but once the playoffs start, teams will turn it around and everybody plays their best. We'll we'll see how it unfolds. But I wouldn't like that kind of pressure from the outside of being part of our team.
But you do bring up a good point with COVID and everything. They're not really hearing it around. I mean, Canada is still in the lockdown, especially in the city of Toronto. You know, protocols will be lifted for the Stanley Cup playoffs, as we've read through the NHL's release of, you know, certain players that are vaccinated, so that you'll be able to dine with your teammates and do a little bit more normal events than they've had during the regular season. But, you know, with regards to hearing about it, and, you know, you're not going down to your local store and hearing about all the nonsense of you did this, you didn't do that, you know, so maybe this is the year for the Leafs because all of that pressure is off. There's such a young team. I don't know, Dom, you're smirking.
I think that's for sure, but I think there's also the internal pressure that they definitely feel. You have the GM that went out and made a bunch of acquisitions at the trade deadline, and clearly the team went all in. You know,
that's
and
true,
so
yeah.
they're very aware of how bought in the entire organization, how much is on the line. Maybe that external pressure isn't felt as much, but the internal pressure as a player is sometimes even more poignant for you.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's Byte.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match. With Indeed. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Well, we're less than a week away from the start of the postseason, so let's take a look at the odds powered by PointsBet Sportsbook and the odds to win the Stanley Cup. You guys, the Colorado Avalanche running away with it right now, followed by Vegas, the defending Stanley Cup champion Lightning, the Toronto Maple Leafs, which we've been discussing, and Carolina, which has just had an unbelievable season, you know, clinching that division, fun team to watch, loaded with talent. Do you think the odds to win the Stanley Cup presented by PointsBet are accurate at this point, or do you guys go with a different one?
Yeah, they're probably accurate. I mean, you can't argue with those teams, Colorado, Vegas, Tampa, Toronto, Carolina, but the only argument I would throw up is where's Minnesota, where's Florida, where's St. Louis, Pittsburgh, Islanders, Washington. I mean, Jonesy and I were talking about the standings last time we were working together, and this year, maybe more than ever, there's so many teams that you could see hoisting the Stanley Cup at the end of this thing. So much of it goes into who your team matches up against. You know, maybe a block shot to the wrong key member of a group is going to affect the outcome of a series. We know how important certain players are to different teams, so there's a lot to sort out. To answer the question, I wouldn't pick any one of those four or five teams, not to say that they can't win, but I'd keep going way down, get better odds, and take a team like Minnesota to get out of a division and win a Stanley Cup. Who knows? There's other teams that you can find pretty good value in. I just know it's wide open this year as far as picking a winner.
A betting time.
Yeah, well,
I like it.
Free yeah, good betting
presented tactics. By Patrick Sharp.
So does that mean you're going to short Colorado? Is that what you're talking about here?
If you told me, Dom, that if you told me I had to pick Colorado or the field, I got to take the field. I mean, I don't think there's a clear-cut winner really in any division.
Well, I agree with you in terms of I think Mini is a dark horse, you know, and you mentioned how small the margins are. I think as high as the expectations are in Colorado, they'll have their hands full getting out of the first round. Like Mini is that good. Mini has beaten Vegas 5 times in a row. Last times they played Vegas. So there's no easy series. The one team that I think is peaking at the right time is Boston. They got healthy on the back end. They got a fresh, mentally fresh, more importantly, Tuukka Rask. Last year in the bubble, he had to leave, and even Jaro Halak was not himself. So they were a beaten team to start the playoffs. They were a game away from winning the Stanley Cup the year before. So I like the Boston Bruins' chances going into the playoffs. I think they can beat anyone. So there's a lot of ways you could approach this from a betting point.
Well, of the five teams that are here, guys, who has the best chance to win the Stanley Cup? Of Colorado, Vegas, Tampa, Toronto, and Carolina, who do you have?
Well, I would say the Tampa Bay Lightning, but that's with the asterisk because there's two big questions there, and it's their two best offensive players in Kucherov and Stamkos. If those guys come back and they're healthy and their timing is good, which is a big ask, Dom, you know what it's like to sit out for any significant period of time and then jump in and start playoffs. That's a big ask, but if that's the case and these guys are hungry to defend their title, tough to argue with the lineup in Tampa Bay. So, but everything I just said matters, right? How hungry is this team? They know what it takes to go four rounds and win. They proved that last year. They're going to be facing hungry, tough opponents just to get out of that division. Carolina, Florida, Nashville, these teams are all ready to go. So it's so hard to pick a winner, but I'm just going to give some respect to the defending cup champs about that.
Yeah, I like to follow the goalies and, you know, Vasilevsky being what he is, but I am not picking Tampa this year. I don't have a good feeling about them. I don't think you can just have a guy that sat out the whole year and expect him to come in and light it up. I think it disrupts the lineup. Guys have been playing in certain roles and now they got to find new roles and it's hard to win. Florida's a heck of a team. So just getting out of that first round, Tampa hasn't looked good the last few weeks. They've been up and down in terms of their results. So following the goalies in the West, I have to go with the Vegas Golden Knights. They've got a 1-2 punch in net. That's phenomenal. They've got two of the best defensemen in the league and Petrangelo and Theodore, and Mark Stone is lighting it up. So they've been close the last couple of years. And I think this is the chance for them to take the next step.
Yeah, all valid arguments. Let's shift to the East now. And the Pittsburgh Penguins clinched the East division on Saturday night, guys. First place, locked up. Just a remarkable turnaround for their season from where it was in the beginning, where we weren't really sure that this Penguins team was even going to make the postseason. But here they are. How far can this Penguins team go down the stretch here?
Sharpie, I don't know how you feel about this lineup, but I like their depth offensively. You know, they've got three lines for sure that are as good offensively as any in the league. We saw Jeff Carter get four goals the other night. He's on the third line behind Crosby and Malkin. What I don't see there is a shutdown line. So, you know, if you're going to be going up against some of the top teams in the league and some of the top lines, you're looking at the perfection line potentially. Who's going to shut them down? You know, so that's a question mark for me. Their goaltending has been good, so I don't really have a concern there, but I think their depth is great. They've got four lines that can score, but it's who's going to shut down the top lines of the other team that I think becomes really important in the playoffs. You look at a team like Washington, they've got Dowd, Hagelin, and Hathaway. Laviolette loves to use that line for shutdown minutes. You know, that to me becomes more valuable in a seven-game series.
Yeah, so now you're asking the guys in Pittsburgh, players like Tanev and Bluger, and make up whoever you want on the wing. On the other side, a guy like Zach Aston-Smith. We've seen McCann go down there and play. I mean, that's asking a lot. Maybe the lights go on Pittsburgh.
That's what happened. Oh, that's funny.
That's not a good sign for the Penguins. Maybe maybe we should look elsewhere in that Eastern Division. You mentioned that energy line. That's what I like so much about the Bruins, because – besides the top two scoring options that they have, we talk about them all the time, they can make up a checking line centered by Corrali and then pick your poison on the wings. If you want to have a little more of a physical group, there's Nick Ritchie. You can have a little skilled group, try to score some goals. Andre Cassius coming back to the lineup. So there's options there in the bottom six with Boston and other teams in that division. I like where Dom's head's at, but as long as they got 87, we'll see if Malkin's ready to roll. Tough to bet against the Penguins, but I'm kind of on the same page as you, Dom.
Yeah, and along those lines, I mean, Dom, you mentioned his name, but Jeff Carter or Sharpie, you said, you know, he's coming off that four-goal performance last week, scored another one in Saturday's game. Why has Jeff Carter fit so well with this Pittsburgh Penguins team? What is it about the makeup of that line that is allowing him to have success? Is he freer to play than he was in Los Angeles? The matchups are just a little bit better for him? I mean, what is it?
Yeah, probably. It's two different leagues from what I remember. When you're playing on a top line, first or second, you're getting pretty good, pretty challenging matchups defensively. You got a guy like Dominic Moore chasing around all night long, good two defensemen. Every shift you're out there. And then when you find yourself in the bottom six, whether it's that third line, an energy fourth line, now it just seems to be like a different league. You're out there against fifth and sixth defensemen, and sometimes the pace of play is a little bit different. So I think Carter coming over, he's a veteran guy. He's always had the ability to score big goals and lighten up the Buffalo Sabres. Doesn't get me too excited for Jeff Carter going forward. I already knew what he was, a straight line skater. He's going to score and produce in those big moments. But when you can kind of hide him behind some of the other top guys that are there, look at what Phil Kessel did in the playoffs for the Pittsburgh Penguins. He was basically in the third line role for both of those back-to-back championships. Maybe Carter's the guy that can move up and down your lineup, but beyond scoring goals, Dom, he's going to kill penalties. He's a right-handed shooting centerman, so he can take some draws in those situations. They don't have too many righties there taking draws in Pittsburgh, so he can provide some value that way as well.
Yeah, big time. And he's getting production on the power play too, where you're playing with some of the best playmakers in the league. Sharp, you have to wonder too, like, you know, he's been in a situation where he hasn't been on a contender, you know, and you got to wonder how much he's invigorated just by being in a new environment with a team that's got a chance to make a deep run, a team that's been there before. So he really feels like, you know, he's back in another Stanley Cup situation again. So I think that's energizing for a guy at the point in the career that Jeff Carter is at. And he's going to be a great playoff asset. You mentioned all the attributes he has and his size, you know, being able to grind down low. That you're not going to see as many rush opportunities in the playoffs. So having that size and puck protection that a guy like Jeff Carter has is a real asset there.
Guys, it's time for the cold brew check fueled by Dunkin'. The Florida Panthers, can't wait for this matchup, and the Tampa Bay Lightning are facing each other in the postseason for the first time ever. Who wins the series? Sharpie, start us off.
Oh, man, I got to go against my old coach, Coach Quenneville, and the Florida Panthers. I'm going to take the defending champs, but I'm going out on a limb on this one for reasons mentioned earlier. It's all about Stamkos and Kucherov. They come back. The power play is good. They score goals in the first two periods, and then Tampa shuts the game down, and it's lights out. But I really like Florida. Saw them play at the United Center a couple of weeks ago, back-to-back games. They play a fast game. I would have thought their season was done, like I did when Ekblad goes down with an injury. But the way Mackenzie Weegar's playing, other players on that back end, they look hungry. They look excited to be in the playoffs, and they're going to be a pain in the butt to play against. I'm taking Tampa, though.
I'm going to go with Florida. I love Tampa. I think they're an awesome team to watch. Actually, these two teams are very similarly built. They've got, you know, some of the best decors in the league. And I've just been so impressed with Florida. They're playing, you know, at the top of their game. They've got one of the best two-way centers in the league in Sasha Barkov. I'm hesitant about Kucherov coming back. I just think that's really tall task to come in and expect to light it up. Mm-hmm. Tampa hasn't been peaking at the right time here down the stretch. So I'm excited to watch this series. The fact that we can see these two teams have a state rivalry in the playoffs for the first time, but I think it's going to be down to the wire, but I think I'm going to go with Florida, and I'm hoping, fingers crossed, we'll get to see Spencer Knight play a big role in this.
Very well done there. Okay, that was the cold brew check fueled by Dunkin'. This season, be sure to grab a cold brew for game time, because where there's hockey, there's Dunkin'. Guys, before I let you go, I want to know who your sleeper team is. So it's the one team that you think everybody should keep a close eye on here as we enter the postseason of maybe someone that could do some damage. Dom, you're nodding your head. Do you have a thought?
Yeah, well, we mentioned them already, the Minnesota Wild. I think Cam Talbot, you know, has been awesome for Minnesota this year. He's a big game player. I think he'll kind of lock the door behind them, and they've got some really underrated defensemen. I think Jonas Brodin is one of the best defensive defensemen in the league. And then up front, they've got pretty good depth of two-way grinding skilled players led by the rookie sensation Kaprizov. So I like that team. We'll see if they can get through that first round, because they're dangerous.
Well, you stole my pick. but I agree with everything you said. Minnesota is a team that's going to surprise. There won't be an easy out, but I'm going to stay in the same division and go with Stanley Cup champions once upon a time, the St. Louis Blues. Nobody thinks they are going to put up much of a fight against Vegas, and you know, they haven't shown a whole lot this year. They've shown enough to get in the playoffs, and you can't disregard championship pedigree. And it wasn't long ago that those guys knew how to shut games down, win as a group. It'll be interesting to watch the Petrangelo situation. Of course, he was on the Blues when they were champions, and a big reason as to why. So that's a tough task, beating a team like that. But since it's a sleeper pick, I'll choose the Blues.
All right, Blues, Wild, look out. Playoffs start this Saturday, guys. It'll be the three of us on Saturday night to open things up right after the Preakness on NBC, game one of the Stanley Cup playoffs. I can't wait. Thanks for joining me today. This was fun.
Thanks, good stuff, guys.
See you, Dom.
Thanks, everybody, for listening for another episode of Our Line Starts, fueled by Dunkin'. We'll see you next time.